just got a whole room full of folks.
We did.
I didn't hear the last day.
Something about all of us.
Hair fry.
Thank you.
Is that doing something?
I don't.
It's just recorded.
Esther? Yep. This is Kobe. I've been on for a while. I was just waiting for us. Good, Kobe, welcome. What are you doing to stay out of trouble this summer?
Well, I've been traveling up the west coast, but just having fun with that. And I got back. Enjoying the nice days that we have been having up here in Fairbanks. It's been relatively raining like it has been all across the state, so.
Well, then we're on the news.
Pretty good. Yes! Yes!
So when does school start for you?
For me, it starts.
Otherwise, you've got a problem.
Oh, God.
If you don't have my.
That's not very long.
Yeah.
Oh, it is.
State Board of Education and Early Development on July 30th, 2014. And we'll start with the roll call, please. Mrs. Miller.
Lieutenant Colonel Hayes.
Here.
Mr. Risk.
Here.
Mr. Gallahorn.
Here.
Ms. Thompson.
Here.
Ms. Field, Mr. Field. Ms. Cox?
Yes.
Ms. Yar?
Yes, here.
Mr. Mariner?
Here.
Chair Cox, you have the quorum.
Thank you. This is Sue calling. You didn't call my name, but I hear as well.
I apologize, Sue.
No problem. All right. Well, if you would please rise and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Ladies and gentlemen of the board, this is your opportunity to disclose a potential conflict of interest or what would seemingly be a potential conflict of interest for anything on the agenda. Do I hear anything from any of the board members? That's the case. We'll move along to the approval of the agenda. Commissioner, do you have any changes on the agenda?
I don't.
changes on the agenda. That being the case, I would take a motion to approve the agenda as written.
I move to approve the agenda as submitted.
I second.
Kathleen, second.
Now, Sue, you're the high hockey buck on this Robert stuff. Do we have to go to a roll call, or can it just be?
Robert doesn't specify that the rules of the group do, so I don't know if the board has any policy regarding that.
Well, we have always gone to a roll call, so we will continue to do that. If no roll call, vote please.
Okay, Lieutenant Colonel Hayes?
Yes.
Mr. Riz?
Yes.
Mr. Gallhorn?
Yes.
Ms. Thompson?
Yes.
Ms. Cox?
Yes.
Ms. Yar?
Yes.
Ms. Hull?
Yes.
Mr. Mariner?
Yes.
The agenda is approved.
Thank you. Public comment is open on agenda and non-agenda items. Comment at this oral hearing is limited to 3 minutes per person and 5 minutes per group. Public comment can be made for this meeting during this time only by calling 1-855-463-5009 if you're outside of Juneau. For participation from Juneau, call 463-5009. This meeting will be streamed through the Legislative Information Office over http://www.legislature.tv. Okay? And comments can also be made by visiting your local Legislative Information Office. And with that, Ms. Miller, do we have any public comments?
I do not have any public comments that came to us.
Okay. All right. If that's the case, then we will move along to number five, regulations to adopt Internet Services. Commissioner Hanley.
Yes, thank you, Chair Cox. The board's being asked to adopt regulations that were brought to the board previously for the funding of internet speed at public schools. And for this, we have several people who can speak to it, but Sandra Meredith is going to.
No.
I'm sorry. Linda. Linda is bringing forward the information and proposal on this.
All right. Thank you. So the internet's regulations that we brought before you to go out for public comment have been revised a little bit based on the public comment. Attorney General Wyrock and Valerie Oliver, our E-rate consultants, and I have reviewed all the public comments, and we believe now that we have a stronger regulation than we brought forward before the public comment period. And we'd like to, we have Valerie also on the phone, on the call, and she is also willing to share information about these regulations in the process if there are any questions.
Esther, I have something.
Go ahead. Is this Barbara?
This is Barbara. I have a couple of comments and one recommendation. I'm really happy to see that a lot of the ideas that were forwarded in public comment by GCI were incorporated into these new regs. I think they were good recommendations, and I can see where they've been incorporated. The second thing is on page 12 of the online packet and page 8 of the regulations, if you have a hard copy, there's a 4AAC 33.665, it says districts shall not be eligible for funding if district fails to submit a timely year-end report. I recommend that be changed to May. And my last comment is still on page 12 of the online package, page 8 of the reg hard copy, 4AAC 33.670. I just have a question about returning of unexpended funds by the district by July 30th. And I'm wondering if this is possible. I know the end of the fiscal year is June 30th, but I know invoices are still coming in after June 30th. And will an extra 30 days be enough time? Maybe the district already plans to have everything cleaned up by the end of July, but I just don't know if that's a reasonable timeline or not.
This is Linda, and I'd like to respond to that. I think that the comment, the first comment on the wording of changing shall to may is a good comment and a good recommendation. I think it gives the department more freedom to work with the districts about getting those reports in. And it still does give us the ability, if we need to, with a non-compliant district to eventually cut off their funding. So I think that's a good recommendation. And I'd like to, I guess, defer to Valerie if she has something that she can add on the return of unexpended funds. I believe that these costs will be monthly and recurring, and possibly the districts would be able to know what they would have unexpended in time to return by July 30th. But I'm not positive about that. Valerie, do you have any advice for us?
Well, I do know that a lot of people who work for the school district do take some time off in the summer, even if they are a 10-month employee. And so I think I probably, in looking at this, would agree that it may be in our best interest and their best interest to extend this a little bit. If we are wanting to make this concurrent with federal guidelines for having all of your accounting done, they give you 120 days from the end of the fiscal year. And so if we wanted to more closely align this with the federal requirements, we would make it 120 days from the close of the previous fiscal year.
Right now it's 30.
Yeah, and this is Barbara. I guess I don't know that 120 days is needed, but possibly sometime in August or the end of August.
Perhaps August 30th would be more palatable. Districts typically are coming back in mid-August, you know, if people are on holiday or work a 10-month schedule. So would... maybe the commissioner knows, has a better feel for when schools start and stop, but would August 30th give them ample time should they be on a 10-month schedule?
This is Barbara. I think that would be much more reasonable.
Mm-hmm. That seems to make sense.
Yeah, I have no objection to that at all.
Even if it is, even if folks are coming back to school, it might be well to still align with the federal. I think TCI raised some good points related to not having too many differences in the two processes, which simplifies it for small districts. So, unless 120 days is a hardship for some reason in the process, it might be well to still align with the federal date.
My concern, this is Linda, my concern was 120, in addition to it's a very long time, and things could probably get lost on district desks as they start a new school year, is that the end of the state reappropriation period for the fiscal year is August 30th. So that kind of splits the difference and allows us to keep our books.
That seems reasonable to me. I just thought I'd
raise it. Okay. I'm going to jump in here just briefly. We just got a note about an off-net of an individual that would like to make a comment. And I'll let you determine when you want to do that, but Dr. Mary Wagner from Sitka has asked to testify, and so we might just need to clarify if there's anybody else online as well.
Are you talking to me, Commissioner?
I am. This was delivered to us right after.
Does he want to comment on this this regulation?
It doesn't say. She's the new superintendent in Sitka.
She did put in that
she wanted a public comment. We just didn't have this in front of you. It was delivered after we moved to the next agenda item, and it came down from the office upstairs. So,
okay. Well, is it okay with everyone? We finish up discussion on this regulation, and we don't necessarily have to vote on it before we hear her comment, because she may have a comment regarding this regulation. Let's continue our discussion. Then we'll take the public comment. Is that set with everybody?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Okay. So basically, you are recommending that 4AAC 33.67
August 30th. Is that correct?
Yes.
Do we need a motion to make those two changes? Well, I would say yes, we do. But before we do that, are we okay, Commissioner, just to make these changes and to go ahead and go spend on the regulations and to adopt the regulations?
Yes, what we would do is we would make sure that the suggested motion or the motion that somebody makes would be to adopt this with the changes of, and we can clarify that before someone makes the motion if you'd like.
Okay, that would be good. So we just don't vote on this, but that will come up when we come up with the regulation motion, correct?
I think that works, unless we're hearing a need for more conversation now, which it doesn't seem like. I think that will surely work, yeah.
Okay, all right. Now, could we please go back to D on 4AAC 33.665? And Barbara, my question to you is, how did you want that to read?
Instead of the word shall not, have a may not. That's all. May not be eligible.
Okay. Any other discussion on that change? All right, any other discussion on any part of the regulation? Is there anybody there in your staff that has anything to say?
No, I think that both those changes seem to make sense. I'm looking around the room, and we're good here. Thank you.
Okay.
Hey, Esther, this is Jim.
Yeah.
I guess I would like to hear, it kind of sound like Linda and Pete, and obviously Linda's public comment, the Anchor School District comment about the 10 megabytes versus their recommendation for something much more robust than that, and their prediction that within a few years, these students are going to be able to access 1 gigabyte, 1,000 megabytes per second. I guess I just want to hear from somebody from the department or from Linda as to their thoughts on that.
Well, I'll step in, and I think I don't think anybody would argue that 10 megabits is very much a floor. It's very much a minimum, and the need's only going to increase from here on out. I think everyone would probably agree with that. So we're responding to specific legislation that provided funding to get up to 10, and to be honest with you, I'm excited that conversation's been had, that this step has been made. So we are moving in the right direction, but I think we all recognize that it's a far cry from where we eventually need to be, or really where we need to be now.
Thank you, Christopher.
This is Sue. I just want to tag on to that. It's well that the increase will just replace this point, because so many people involved in this conversation don't really understand the gap, and I think it's important to have it on the record, the size of the gap of where we might be. I mean, 10 megabits is still, a good beginning, but I think it's important for folks to recognize the size of the gap in order to get us to where we need to be to compete. So, I think Commissioner's right. All right, any other comments regarding the regulation?
Hi, Esther, Kathleen here. I just have a question on under 4AAC 605 application A. Now, the last sentence, give you a minute to get there. Okay. Okay, the last sentence in the phrase, to student internet users at a school operated by a district.
Wait a minute. What number is that? What letter is that under?
A. 4AAC, page 2.
Right.
The last phrase of the last sentence of the first paragraph.
Okay. Go ahead then.
To student internet users at a school operated by the district, does that then imply that non-student internet users are going at a different rate?
I'll start with this one. No, it doesn't. It means that these funds are designed to create greater access for students and to leverage E-rate funding. And so it really has to do with providing increased access to schools where students have access. The idea isn't to try to create differences, but this is focused on student access.
This is Linda. The idea being that this is not funding connectivity for bus barns or other facilities operated by a district that don't serve students directly with internet access.
And this is Luann Wyrock. I'll just chime in a little bit on that, just to say that it's necessary that the line be accessible to students, but there's no restriction on who else could have access to that in that connection or circuit.
Okay,
Okay.
Can I just ask one
under the statute that the funding goes to the district, but to be eligible, they have to have one school in the district that is eligible for funding under the federal program. So that's a requirement of this funding too. Now they have to be eligible for that federal funding to be eligible for the state funding. So the funding coming now from the state to the district will go to the district, but it's based on the eligibility of at least one school, and from there, their eligibility for the state funding depends on the number of connections that they have, because that will determine their prorate of share.
Okay, and so the school is determined by the number of megabits that it has. If it has fewer than 10, it's eligible. Is that correct?
That's right.
Okay, and the second question I have is about how many schools do we have in this situation?
I'd like to let Valerie answer that question for you. She's been conducting surveys of the school districts to find out who thinks they are eligible. Valerie, are you still online?
Yes, I'm here. Am I muted?
No.
No.
Okay.
Esther, can you hear Valerie? She's on a different phone speaking to you.
Yes, I can hear her.
Okay.
I have heard from 24 different districts with a total of 103 different school sites that feel that they qualify for this. When I say feel that they qualify for this, I say that because the regulations had not yet been written and they did not know how it was going to be implemented. I believe probably, though, that we will have somewhere between 80 and 90 schools that will be eligible for this right now, if that answers your question.
Okay. Okay, those are the questions I have. Any other questions?
I do have one other question. Kathleen again. Yep. So for student internet users, and that includes then homeschool students whose internet is their parents' internet, essentially.
No, these are connections directly into schools that are operated by districts. That's what E-rate, the E-rate focuses on as well.
All right, any other questions? All right, good. Before we vote on this, just in case the superintendent down in Sydney has something to say about this, let's go ahead with her input and then we'll come back to the motion. Is that okay, board? Sounds good. Thank you.
Okay.
Lisa, can you bring in the superintendent from Sitka, please?
Great. Thank you for your consideration. My testimony is not about this topic, and I'm happy to wait until this topic is done.
Thank you. That would be perfect, if you don't mind. Then we'll finish this up. I just wanted to give you the opportunity to testify in case that we're on this particular regulation.
I appreciate
so
that. Thank you.
We'll move on, if that's the case, and no more conversation. Questions? Anything else from the department, Commissioner?
No, nothing from here. Thank you.
All right. If that's the case, I would entertain a motion to include the changes of 4AAC 33.665B, change shall to May, and 4AAC 33.670, change July 30 to August 30.
I'll make that motion. This is Barbara. I move the State Board of Education and Early Development adopt the proposed amendments to 4AAC 33 Article 6 as amended, changing shall to may in 4AAC 33.6653B and changing July 30th to August 30th in 4AAC 33.670, funding for the improvement of internet speed at public schools.
Thank you, Barbara. Second by Sue? Yes, is that correct? Okay. Move. Any other discussion? Roll call vote, please, Ms. Brewer.
Yes. Mr. Rizik? Mr. Rizik?
Yes.
Lieutenant Colonel Hayes?
Yes.
Thompson?
Yes.
Ms. Cole?
Yes.
Ms. Yar?
Yes.
Ms. Cox?
Yes.
Mr. Gallagher? Mr. Gallagher?
Yes.
Mr. Mariner?
Yes, and I'm sorry for interjecting. I just thought that the chair always voted at the end.
Usually that's true. So stick my name at the end if you would, please.
I will.
Okay. Okay, is that everybody?
Yes, that's everyone. Your motion passes.
Thank you very much. All right, now if we could take the public comment, please, from the superintendent at Sitka. And I'm sorry, Commissioner, I don't know her name. What is her name?
Dr. Mary Wagner, the new superintendent of Sitka.
Thank you. Is it Wagner?
Wagner with an E, W-E-G-N-E-R.
Thank you. Okay. Dr. Wagner, welcome to Sitka Superintendency and welcome to the State Board of Education.
Thank you so much, and thank you for allowing me to testify today, Chair Cox, members of the State School Board, and Commissioner Hanley. My name is Mary Wagner, and I am the new superintendent in the Sitka School District. I wanted to speak with you today in support of the superintendent endorsement program proposed by the University of Alaska Southeast Campus. I have been the assistant superintendent in the Sitka School District for the past 4 years and just graduated in May with my doctorate after a 12-year process. Consequently, I am starting my superintendent career without having a superintendent endorsement, although I am required to get a superintendent endorsement prior to the end of my current 2-year contract. Holding a superintendent endorsement is not a requirement in the state of Alaska. However, it is best practices for both the district and the individual. When I was selected as the next superintendent of the Sitka School District in February, there was no program in Alaska to which I could turn to not only fulfill the requirement established by my school board, but also to learn the skills I needed to be the best superintendent I can be. As superintendent, I have very little time off during the summer, and there are time zone considerations for programs that run during the school year. Both of these factors greatly limit the out-of-state superintendent endorsement programs that I could consider. Luckily, the University of Alaska Southeast Campus was working to fill the void in superintendent endorsement programs in Alaska. I want to point out that I am one of 11 new superintendents in Southeast Alaska alone this year. And there are other districts outside of Southeast that also have a new superintendent. The average tenure of a superintendent in Alaska is less than 3 years. For the sake of our students, we must have a strong program that helps to build capacity within the state to grow our own superintendents. and to help our existing superintendents to gain the skills they need to be successful in the position so that they can stay longer than the average. The previous superintendent in Sitka stayed for 13 years, and our students' learning, district as a whole, and community benefited from that longevity. Without a superintendent endorsement program in Alaska, I will not be able to stay in Sitka beyond my current two-year contract. I would like to end on a note of quality. My doctoral dissertation looked at adult learning in synchronous online environments, which happens to be the same distance learning methodology offered by UAS in the Superintendent Endorsement Program. I participated in a class this summer that served as an orientation to the superintendent program, and I can tell you that under the direction of Dr. Marty Laster, the instructional practices put into place in the design of the program follows what research says regarding deep learning in an online environment. I welcome to the learning to come, and I heartily support your approval of UAS's superintendent endorsement program. My job depends on it. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Dr. Wagner. And that's with that, we're going to move along to number six on our agenda, which is the University of Alaska Southeast Superintendent endorsement. Anybody else connected online that I don't know about?
Not that we're aware of.
Okay.
Deborah Lowe from the University of Alaska Southeast is here.
Well, welcome, Deb. We're glad to have you.
Okay. And Marty Laster is here.
Hi. Well, of course, Marty Laster is there. Let's just hear your voice, too, Dr. Laster.
Thank you.
All right. Commissioner, let's go
to
six, please.
Yes, the University of Alaska Southeast, as you have heard and as you know, has developed a new superintendent program, an endorsement program to, I'm pausing for just a moment here. We've got, I've got one note I'm looking at here. Hang on one moment.
Okay. And we know it's written in block letters. It used to be an elementary principal. Is it on white paper?
Yes. Esther, maybe before we move on, we do have one. Dr. Parody is here in the room. When we originally put our the agenda together, it had 9:15 for the time of public comment, and she was here at that time. But so we were probably looking for that prior to 9:15. So it would be up to you to, if you'd like to hear Dr. Paramo. Parody. Dr. Parody is here in the room in regards to public comment.
Said if we hear Dr. Parody. Anybody that objects to going to Dr. Parody interjecting right now, and then we'll move along with the superintendent. I don't hear any decision, so let's go ahead with Dr. Parody.
All right, she's stepping up to the table now. She's here in Juneau. So.
Okay. Welcome, Dr. Parody.
Okay, you want me to stay here? Chairman Cox, Commissioner Hanley, members of the State Board, thank you for entertaining my public comment this morning, and it'll be brief. Just want to, for the record, say my name is Dr. Lisa Skiles-Parody. I'm the Executive Director for the Alaska Council of School Administrators and the Alaska Superintendent Association. And what Dr. Wagner testified to earlier is correct. We have had 17 new and incoming superintendents this year and a similarly large class last year, really amounting to almost half of the superintendents in the state of Alaska being very new or relatively new. And so we are supportive of any program that supports building the skills and providing support to superintendents to ensure the quality needed for sustained leadership in those positions. You know, the research is very strong, supporting that if you have quality sustained leadership in the superintendent level that it has a direct impact on student achievement results. So we commend UAS and support that the University of Alaska system has a superintendent endorsement program, and thank you for the time to testify this morning.
Thank you very much, Lisa, and welcome to your new job.
Thank you.
Okay, with that then, can we go to Commissioner Liske at the University of Alaska Southeast talking about their program, please?
I'm going to turn it over to Sandra at this time, because as you know, the board approves all endorsement programs that the university provides. So Sandra will introduce this again.
Great. Hi, Sandra.
Hello. Chair Cox, State Board members, we are in front of you. Agenda item 6 is a packet of information concerning the University of Alaska Southeast new superintendent endorsement program that they have developed and presented for your approval. Dr. Laster and Dean Lowe are online to answer any questions you have concerning the materials that they presented.
I have comments, Esther. It's Barbara.
Barbara, okay, please go ahead.
Okay. Good morning, Dr. Lowe and Dr. Laster. I so appreciate UAS stepping up and filling a gap where there is such a big gap. This program is needed, and I do appreciate you looking to the future and doing something about it. I have one major concern, and it's on page 27 of the online packet and page 6 of 50 on the hard copy that you provided. And it's related to course description for Ed F613, governance. And in reading that and reading through the other course description, I find that I can only find a secondary focus on Alaska law. I really think there is a need for a primary focus on Alaska law and federal law. I see federal stuff nowhere. There are so many particular things, items, clauses, requirements of federal acts such as No Child Left Behind and IDEA that, and others, that I really think more of a focus should be on Alaska law and federal law. And I'm not saying that I think superintendents need to know how to administer every single federal program or every single state program, because they have staff to do that. But there are some cross-cutting ideas and things that districts can get into trouble if they don't understand related to state law and federal law, and I do see this missing.
This is Sue. I'd like to tag on to that comment. I agree. I looked at that governance class as well, and I know that for superintendents, particularly those who have not lived in a community where they serve or where they might be interested in serving, you know, that often that focus of board relations becomes large and important, and I know how important it is. But I also thought that Alaska law and the gap of federal law leave superintendents in a dangerous position. So they need at least rudimentary understanding of those legal requirements, because they really are pretty onerous. So I would support Barbara's comment.
And this is Barbara. I guess I was hoping to see a much expanded course for governance or a separate course for the law piece.
Dr. Lowe or Dr. Lasseter, respond?
Probably best if I respond. But I certainly would defer to Dean. But we provide a very rigorous legal background for principals, and we do it through an integrated fashion. And so this does address key components of Alaska and federal law in a practical way that provides sort of cross-cutting themes like tort liability cuts across a number of legal cases. The suit needs to understand tort liability and needs to know when to work with their attorney rather than thinking they have the gist of all of the implications of the legal cases out there. Because there's so much that needs to be provided for training for superintendents. It has to be there. But it's really a focus on the documents and the relationships that guide governance decisions. I'll stop there. Other than to say that we are in agreement, Barbara, and that is a key element of what the government's class will focus on.
I hear what you're saying, Marty, and I would like the description to reflect that and to make whatever change. Again, I see nothing that says anything about federal, and I do, again, I don't expect superintendents to know all the details of administering all of the programs, but I don't believe only the principals need to know things about federal law and state law. So again, I would like to see the description rewritten and thought given to the kinds of issues that would be brought forward related to state and federal law.
Friendly amendment, Marty, could we add a focus, a secondary focus is on governance documents such including both federal and Alaska law?
Absolutely.
This is Esther, and board members chime in. Marty, I agree with what has been said so far. I totally. When I think about, we haven't had the reauthorization of NCLB, but, yeah, it's going to come down, and it's going to come down, and every superintendent has to know the ramifications of that. Just take special education and the federal law that's involved around that whole issue. I mean, those are just two things. And so that, I think, should be a very sterling piece in that particular course description.
Esther, and Barb through the chair, I have no problem resculpting or redesigning with the board's guidance in mind.
Other comments, Barbara?
No, I don't.
Any other board members on this particular issue? Other issues regarding this curriculum that has been provided to us?
This is Sue. Why does the program require a type A? I'm just wondering, is it necessary in light of the possibility that a chief school administrator might be selected by a school board, and wouldn't it better serve us to allow a CSA candidate superintendent endorsement? And this issue was raised, as I believe the other board members know, by one of the superintendents that sent in related public comments. So I'm just wondering why we need to include that the requirement for a tech day.
Thank you, through the chair. If you go back to admission, you'll see that we've accommodated changes that the state board may make. Right now, that is the guidance for the department in terms of superintendent and access to that endorsement. But I believe the language that is there is any other pathway that the state board might suggest. And you may or may not know, but I have been a superintendent in Washington that doesn't require an education background at all. And I've seen those outstanding superintendents. And I've seen folks that, quite frankly, are managers. So what we did was we tried to adhere to what exists now, but allow for any changes that might occur.
Okay, so this is Esther Marty. So I'm looking at your minimum qualifications for admission to the program. That's on page 4 of the printed document. And number 4 says at least 3 years of certificated teaching experience the way it exists right now. Number 7 then would give other pathways as approved by the state school board. So if we were to change that, and that regulation is under scrutiny right now and will be on the September agenda, to do away with the Type A certificate. So are those the two areas that we're talking about?
Absolutely, Esther. Thank you.
Okay. So, Chair, this is Sue. Help me understand. So what you're saying is that should the board take action relative to the superintendent's certificate not requiring that then its endorsement program would not require? That's what I'm saying. Is that the correct interpretation, Marty?
Well, as the department will share with you, we can we do recommend institutionally that the individual is qualified, but the certificate and endorsement comes from the department. And so what we're trying to do is acknowledge that issue is currently being discussed, and to demonstrate that in this proposal, and if there are changes made, we would work with the department and with interested parties, clients, be as well prepared as possible.
Well, Sue, does that answer your question? And Commissioner, have I interpreted that correctly also? I'm interpreting it that if indeed our regulation changes, then the admission requirement for Southeast would not include a Type A certificate for a superintendent's endorsement. Am I getting it correctly, Sue?
Yes. But I guess let me further ask the question. I mean, if we remove that requirement, I'm not sure that it follows that they would, because if we were to require something more, it makes sense that they would then require something more. But the negative of that may not, the inverse may not be true. So I'm interested in the commissioner's answer to your question.
Well currently, in regulation, these are the requirements. You have to have those items in there to be admitted to the program. So you do need to have those the Type A right now. if the board chose in the future to make a change to that, right now to get a superintendent endorsement, you have to have these criteria in place.
Right.
So if they chose maybe at a future meeting to say, if you want to be a CFO, maybe the entrance requirements are different. Maybe you go through the same courses, but the entrance requirements would be different to be a CFO. Maybe that's something that the board wants to consider. But right now, and public comments that we heard during the last meeting, there was a lot of it in regards to the strength, the need for people in these leadership positions to have had teaching experience. So I don't think this is the place where the board can make the change. I think these are the criteria that we've put in place for the university. And again, I think Esther, you mentioned that it's coming up for another conversation in the future about do we want to have different pathways, or does the board want to have different pathways for CFOs or for an alternate route to be a superintendent?
Esther, if I could chime in. My issue is not that we should eliminate, I think that discussion comes in September relative to the 3 years of teaching, and frankly, I think that's wonderful for people to have. I guess my question is related to the fact that currently school boards can hire a chief school administrator, or I heard that the superintendent used a different acronym than what I'm used to, the CSA, but it doesn't matter. In either case, and if a school board chooses someone who is, who serves that function, which does not meet the requirements for a superintendent certificate, but nevertheless they can be leading a district, my question is, why wouldn't it serve us well to allow those folks who may be interested in taking that course? And obviously it's a risk to them. I mean, it makes sense to me that they would pursue the traditional path and they'd be in better position. But it's a possibility for folks to be leading a district with the CSA, wouldn't it serve us well to have them, if they were able to, have them be able to participate in this program? So this is just a prep program, which, certification is a whole separate deal. This is just an endorsement program. Why would we limit the endorsement program when there is this alternative path that currently exists? Does that make sense?
May I answer?
Yeah.
This is my understanding, and again, it's my understanding, and I may be wrong. This is an endorsement program. It leads to an institutional recommendation for endorsement. The only way to be endorsed is if you have all of the requirements that are listed there, which, you folks have put in place. So we kind of have to go with what is.
I guess that's not my question. And I get it that we, nobody turns the board's mind for September. But I think the separate issue is, since there is a path that exists currently for someone to be leading a school district as a CFA, why would we not want them, if it's possible, to able to participate in this program? At the end of the program, they would have a superintendent endorsement, but they would still possibly, in that particular very limited case, they would not be able to meet the criteria that exist presently for superintendent certification. And are you feeling, Dean Lowe, that if we allowed them to participate, that then by giving the superintendent endorsement, it might be misleading to people that they then are qualified for certification? Is that what I'm hearing you say?
It would be very misleading because they're not qualified for an endorsement.
Esther, Sandra's here, and I think it's important maybe that she speak to clarity around the terms certificate and endorsement, because they both have meaning in regulation and in our work. So, Sandra?
Just to clarify, what this is setting up the university to do is to recommend an individual for a specific certification. The process that we have in place requires that when they send that
document to us that the individual has met all of the requirements, and that's what the board is setting out by approving this, that they have set up all of the proper requirements within their program to qualify an individual for that actual certificate with that endorsement on it. I think Sue, Chairperson Hall, is what you are, Board Member Hall, are asking is whether or not an individual could take those courses and do that on the side without actually being enrolled in the endorsement program itself. And I think that would be a call that the university could make, but that would be clear that they were not set up to be recommended for certification and an endorsement because they would not meet those requirements. And you would not want to set up an individual with a false pretense that they could qualify for certification or an endorsement if they hadn't met all of the state requirements.
I see. And so then maybe I'm the one that's confused here. Are those requirements for receiving the full endorsement, are they requirements for participation in the program?
Yeah, I think the way the university sets out their academic advising is, yes, they would need to be enrolled in the program. And Dean, well, maybe you could clarify that further.
Well, we want to be assuring a person, if they do satisfactory work, that the program leads to an endorsement. And we can't do that at this time. So there would almost have to be a signed agreement that they can't get the institutional endorsement necessary for the department to provide the superintendent's endorsement. We don't want to mislead people.
Nor do I.
And just one other clarifying question. Would it be permissible through the university if somebody wanted to audit those courses without participate in the class with an understanding that they're not enrolled in the program, Marty? Or Dr. Laster?
It would be permissible, Sandra, but we have to have some sort of signed agreement so that we're absolutely sure that they understand
right.
that at this point they do not qualify for an institutional recommendation. So that, yes, they could take it for professional development if they so choose, but, you know, we have to be really, really careful with it.
Yeah. Chair Cox, this is Deputy Commissioner Morris. Can I add one other thing?
Please.
I think it's important for the board also just to understand your authority. The reason this program's before you is because you have the authority and requirement to approve programs that will lead to certificates and endorsements. If the university wanted to do a program for chief school administrators that don't lead to endorsements, that's a discussion for the university. It really wouldn't come under your authority because your authority is around certificates and endorsements. So it really almost is a separate discussion that the university would need to decide whether they even want to engage in that and with their governing authorities. But your governing authority is around programs leading to certificates and endorsements here at the department.
I couldn't agree more, Lassa. It seems to me that it's erroneous thinking on anyone's part that anyone would enroll in this particular program without thinking at the end, if they pass all their courses and do everything they're supposed to do, at the end they are eligible for the endorsement from the state of Alaska, the superintendent's endorsement. That's what the whole thing's all about.
And that's how it's been submitted to you.
And just one final comment for me. I'm not trying to pervert any of that, nor am I trying to. I think it's untenable for a candidate to just go to audit, for example, the courses without some indication at the end of the work that they had done or you know, that they had put in all of that time, or that there should be a separate program because, frankly, these cases are few and far between. And in my mind, I was just asking why we would prevent them from participating because I was thinking of the endorsement as being something quite separate from the certification and that the criteria for entrance into that program could be different because at the end, whatever the certification requirements are, the person would have to meet those. But what I'm hearing people say is that in your mind, you believe when they receive that endorsement, they should have fully have the credentials necessary for certification. And if that's the way that folks are most comfortable with it, I'm okay with it. So I just thought I'd raise that issue because there will be, and it's a very limited number of people, so it's not something that should drive the whole process. But I just thought it could serve us well to allow them to participate if it were possible. But I think we should leave it the way it is based on the conversation that people have had.
One way that might help facilitate thinking about it is there is the administrative certificate, which requires at least 3 years of teaching. On the certificate, you get endorsements. So you can have a principal's endorsement. You can have a director of special ed, and you can have a superintendent's endorsement, but you have to qualify for that type B, and for the type B, you have to have a type A, and you have to have 3 years of teaching experience.
So why is number 4 even on that?
I see what you're saying. Again, it's a clarifying point because it is, in fact, in the regs.
Yeah, I think it's fine to have it in there as a circumstance. Okay, other comments from board members regarding any of the curriculum or program descriptions that are in front of us?
Yes, thanks, but it's Toby.
Hi, Toby.
Hi, I'm sorry I interrupted somebody there. So I see in the curriculum, I was looking at it last night, I saw a lot about district governance, relations with the board, there was staff marketing in there, but I didn't see, and community development. I didn't see one thing in there about student relations. And I think in our district, I've seen firsthand that relationship between superintendents and students is really important. The thing that I think a superintendent should know is how to seek student input, how to build positive relationships with students, and the importance and logistics of student communication. Because I know when I'm worried about something in my school, after I talk to my principal, I sometimes go to the superintendent, and I take those relations, those inputs to students who should be some of the primary stakeholders in the district. I think that's really important for superintendents to know how to do is communicate with kind of like their constituents. So something in there about that I think would be really useful.
Toby, you're spot on, and there's no surprise to me that you would go direct to the superintendent. Okay, Marty, what about that?
A couple of things. First, thank you for the question. The program does focus in large measure on the whole needing to learn and And so when we take a look at community building as a class, it is all around students, their needs, and the best way to do that is to talk to students, to give them meaningful roles. We just completed the class that you gave us the opportunity to provide, and the outcome was an entry class. And it was about talking to the community, listening, rather than going in and saying, these are the changes we need to make. And students were a big part of that. Toby?
This is Barbara. I have one comment.
Go ahead, Barbara.
Oh, okay. Under community building, I know it talks about the community, it mentions parents and just about everybody under the sun. It doesn't say students. So perhaps adding students in there with the laundry list of everybody else in the community and parents and teachers and all of that would make it clear that students are going to be addressed. You may have included students under community members or with their parents, but I think Kobe does have a point because students' needs may be different from their parents or other community members, and they do need to be taken into account, as I'm sure you are going to do.
Thank you, Vaughn, to the chair. And Kobe, you may not like the sentence structure, but the whole focus is on the last three words. It's getting to know the environment, the context, the aspirations, the career plans, the college plans that students have, and working to design programs that meet those needs. And again, guessing through, and I appreciate the understanding for it, but guessing through other people provides a great base. And it's not a guess, it's what they're saying. But the folks that know the best are the students, the young adults themselves. And so we, in this very first class, spent a tremendous amount of time focused on the needs of students.
Well, then, Marty, is it fair on 667, you just say at the end, socialization of students, and I have that underlined, which I didn't understand. You're saying a lot more. I heartily agree with Cody and Barbara. And when you're talking, could you add students in there that there is some, so that in the course description, it becomes very apparent of what you are saying, that the emphasis is on students. So, on 667, could you get that written in there a little better?
Madam Chair, I don't have any problem doing that. That's why I suggested it might be the language choice, but it's not the content. I would be happy to make the two content description changes that have been discussed. The focus on law and the focus on direct communication on with students on behalf of students.
Great. Sounds like to me you got the message loud and clear. Okay, are you happy, Kobe?
Yes, I'm happy. I think you did
I do too. All right. So now, other comments regarding any of this program for anybody? Well, of course, Marty, I have comments. You knew that was going to happen, didn't you?
Absolutely.
Okay.
This is the point.
I have a problem with 607, and it lip service to negotiation. And I checked with the deputy commissioner before I decided to plunge into this because I wanted to be sure that what I thought was true, and he confirmed it was, that many superintendents in rural Alaska get very involved in negotiations. And, for all I know, they may be doing some of the negotiating, but they certainly have to bring their boards along. And there doesn't seem to be, if the accent doesn't loom out at me in 607 about the emphasis that I see that needs to happen regarding negotiations.
Okay, Madam Chair, once again, I have tried to use a single word, so we're not submitting, an onerous packet to you. But for me, negotiation is something that a superintendent needs to be mindful of every day, in that there are two basic types, adversarial, where there's a winner and a loser, and interest-based. And what I do with suits is to train how to listen carefully for the interest and move away from positional bargaining. And that, again, gets spiraled throughout the whole program, whether it's working with a parent and listening carefully for how you can meet legitimate needs, but also get the parent to understand that there are only so many resources available, or whether it is getting both management and the association trained together on interest-based bargaining, where folks learn what were their interests, so they want a good quality life for their families versus a 6% raise. And what I'm saying to you, again, is that I am in agreement. That is a huge thing. And I've been in both small districts and large districts as the chief financial officer who did the negotiations. And I just believe that folks need to get through all of these areas. And so I captured them under headings that are similar to the standards. The standard for this is resource management, and that's valuing people. I'm going to stop there because I don't want to
focus
in the glass, but I realize this is
Marty, let me just ask you, in your course description of 607, you talk about negotiation, contract interpretation, negotiation. Will these people have the opportunity, these candidates have the opportunity to to practice some nitty-gritty negotiation techniques?
Two things. One is I build case studies, and the second is recommending that they, if they happen, that they sit in on negotiations, even as an observer, where they're not committing the language or making those jumps prior to being ready to do that. But I do those two particular things, role playing and having that be part of, if possible, if the good script is going through negotiations, I encourage them to be on the team.
Okay, well, you know, my feeling, and I think probably the board would concur with this, that our students need concrete skills, and they need practice doing those skills, and that's why I'm trying to hone into some of these things. Let me ask you this. Where are you going to be talking about current issues? For example, dual enrollment, middle college, Alaska standards, teacher evaluation. We have a proposal to do away with the certification, to change the certification so that superintendents who have never been in the classroom can do certificated evaluations. That's what the new regulation proposal is all about. So these kinds of current issues, where is it that those are addressed?
I don't see how they can. And this is going to sound like a broad answer. But again, keep in mind that we could come out of this, I'd rather not think that way, and you could. I value the board, so I did not make an assumption that you were just going to approve this. It was my hope. So the classes that are falling later in the scope and sequence are still in development. I'm focused right now on what I hope will be the fall class, which is educational finance. And I'm going to use that as an example that we're also right in the middle of a number of studies that could impact educational finance. And we will study the outcomes of those throughout the program. I'm not sure that they'll be delivered a timely manner for fall, but we will introduce the whole idea of revisiting the district cost factor, the intensive needs. This is my way of saying that if you've had an opportunity to talk to students about the principles program, it is based on the latest research and is very practically oriented. It's not about reading writing papers. It's about the implications of enrollment. It's about good communication and strategies that will enhance two-way communication. And so my My answer is that you are spot on, and that that will be a constant focus, and it's my hope you will approve, and in 2 years, much like the principals program, you'll be hearing about great principles coming out of the principals program, but you'll also be hearing extremely high hopes. And I think they're well founded for folks like Mary White.
Okay,
I feel a sense of responsibility.
I don't think it's Marty, but somehow or other, I'm still not getting an answer to the question I have based on things like current issues. Is that in a particular court? Where is it you're going to approach those issues? Because I think it's really important that superintendents are aware of the kinds of changes that are happening in districts statewide.
Can I take a shot at answering, Marty?
Sure.
I think what Marty's saying, and I don't want to put words in his mouth, so correct me if I'm wrong, Marty, is that his current program, which is the principal's program, is extremely responsive, and by extension, the superintendent's program will be responsive to what is currently happening and what superintendents need to know in order to be effective administrators. I think that's what he's saying, that it's integrated into the program across courses in the principal's program and will also be in the superintendent's program.
All right, I won't drive that, I mean, I won't speak that to death, but I think it's real important. Can we take a look at 611 just momentarily?
Can I just respond, though, to just so you walk away feeling like it really will be addressed. I think some of the letters that came to you spoke about future evaluation. That is one of the big ones out there. And UAS has supported your department, Sandra, I think we worked very well together. That's an area that will be addressed inside of district operations because it's an HR function. Other issues, instructional leadership is literacy and standards under, again, the district operations and public, the program side of things will be the school accountability initiative. So I'll stop there, Esther, but I want you to know that I hear you loud and clear, and that I hate to say it.
Yeah. All right. Other comments from board members?
Yes, this is Sue. I would just like to support what is the point that Esther raised. It would be well if it were in the wording a little more clearly that the current issues will be infused in the program as it goes along because, you know, those are the things that you know, in a rapidly changing world, those are the things that folks will most need is how are things changing. So, it's unfortunate that it's not more clear in the words of the program as well as in the intent, because it sounds as though that's clearly the intent. It's just not reflected in the wording of the courses.
And thank you. You obviously realize it's much easier or the current issues. Lots of programs just have a blanket. And the course, current issues. We're trying to tie it together. But we can't, if this is going to be a long-term program, then many of the things that are current issues now hopefully will come integrated into our larger statewide system, and we'll be looking at different issues. And I believe that is what you're saying, and I can speak to current issues.
Okay, Marty, and the last question that I have, and I'll get put beating this horse to death, is under 667, and it says something about board members. Are you really dedicating some time to boardsmanship? That is a real skill that our superintendents need to have, working with the board. And they don't have any opportunity as principals to work with the board. So, you know, I guess I'd like to see that there is an accent on this whole boardsmanship thing.
And I would think that this is good if I could just tag on before you answer. You know, in 613, it appears that that's the primary focus. And now that we added the importance of Alaska law and federal law, understanding, you know, I'm wondering if a two-hour course can cover all of that now.
Well, that's my challenge in terms of trying to have a program that is not another master's degree, and quite frankly, doesn't dump a bunch of things together. Only seminar one, seminar two, but really trying to look at the specific area where superintendents can get it along. And so board relationships will be through everything. Because, for instance, we talked about teacher evaluation. Well, that is not the problem of the superintendent. The superintendent guides the development, but that's the board's role. Make that decision. So there has to be that really comfortable, transparent degree of possibility of talking about the issues that an individual district is facing and having to set goals. Now, for again, the last class looked at evaluation of the superintendent and talking to the board and setting board goals and superintendent goals that are aligned. So, again, I know that this is big picture stuff. But this is the long view to putting together a program that genuinely can create, or not necessarily create, but bring out the leadership skills that people already have, but place them in a context. That is what I call the single seat. There is nobody else in that role. No 17 principals that can chat together. So the better the board president and the student talk together, and then the board president and the student talk to board members,
well, Marty, thank you. And please don't misinterpret my drilling down on some of these things that I'm unhappy. I am ecstatic them. I'm delighted that you've gotten input from some of the superintendents that you have. I see that also that there's some talk, at least I read in here someplace, about using present superintendents as adjuncts, having people from the field who can come in and say, this is the reality that you're facing, folks, is probably one of the most valuable experiences that someone in a class can have. So, I am very, very pleased that once again that our Southeast campus has stepped up, and I wish you well in everything. And I know, Marty, I appreciate particularly the fact that you didn't want to give us a whole bunch of verbiage, but I think the conversation has been good, and I know that you will take some of our suggestions very, very much to heart. Any other comments from board members?
This is Sue. I would just like to say ditto to what Esther said. You know, the matrix indicates adequate coverage of standards. The faculty are well-respected the last educational year. I mean, I could just go on. It truly is wonderful that UAS is willing to take on this challenge, and it's certainly needed in our state. I mean, there would be a significant gap if you had not stepped up. So thank you for doing it. And I'm pleased with the conversation. You know, the conversation related to federal laws, communication with students, all of those things are helpful and I think important. I'm hopeful that the words will reflect that. And even though today we might, you know, approve the program, that the changes will be made in the documents that the public might need as well. So, yeah, kudos to you for doing it, and I certainly support the approval.
Pastor Jim here.
Yes, Jim.
Hey, I'm just wondering how many folks took that summer class.
We had 14 registered chairs. We had 14 registered. I was blown away when we only had basically 2 months to recruit. And of those, three of them asked if they could defer to the next cohort, medical emergencies, those kinds of things. But we had 11 active folks, including a new student that's already got it, I believe. And with a superintendent's endorsement. The look is right now that all 11 will enroll in the fall given board approval.
Okay, cool. All right, appreciate that. Thank you very much. I just want to say that this been a great conversation with them too. Esther, hats off to you. It's just fun to kind of sit back and listen in. This has been wonderful. Thank you so much, University of Southeast, taking this on.
Okay. Anybody, any other board member? Yep, comments. Okay, sounds pretty quiet out there. Then entertain a motion, but I'm wondering, and help me with this commissioner or somebody down there, if you're probably. We have specified specifically in 613 and 667 about specifics to be included, federal law and some wording in students. Should that be included in the motion, or should we just go ahead and put the motion on the floor the way it stands?
Short of actually identifying new verbiage, it seems that the motion should go forward as it is, with the intent, you know, just as is. But obviously, this conversation is on record as the board's intent to see a couple of changes there.
Yeah, there are any number of changes, absolutely. But Marty and Deb, I'm sure, are taking copious notes. Esther, this is Sue. You know, it might be well to think about having the motion on the floor originally, because then it makes amendments easier. You know, because some of those changes are just a word or two, and, you know, could have been included. And then when we take the final action, it's clear to the public or whomever reads this later on what changes were made. Just something to think about for the future.
Okay, thanks, Sue. I appreciate your insight. Okay, with that in mind, then, I would entertain a motion. Hello out there.
Okay, this is Barbara. I'll move. I move that the State Board of Education and Early Development approve the Superintendent Endorsement Program at the University of Alaska Southeast.
Second.
Any other commentary or discussion at this moment in time? Roll call vote, please. Mrs. Miller.
Lieutenant Colonel Hayes?
Yes.
Mr. Rizik?
Yes.
Mr. Gallagher?
Yes.
Ms. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Mariner?
Yes.
Ms. Yar?
Yes.
Thompson?
Yes.
Ms. Cox?
Yes.
Your motion passes.
Thank you. And Dr. Lowe and Dr. Lasseter, thank you once more. So you have a unanimous vote from the board. So go forth and multiply.
Thank you. Let's hold the state as superintendent.
All right, we're on board comments. Board comments. Anybody, Kathleen?
Yeah, thanks for letting me get my phone up. I just think that the requirement by the by the Department of Education are a little bit confusing, because if you need a Type B certificate and that requires 3 years of teaching experience, I don't really see why it's not there, unless you're going to substitute 3 years of K-12 teaching experience outside of certification.
Barbara, come in.
I only have one comment. I did speak with a couple of superintendents who were in over the weekend, and they're in town here, and I know the department met with them and provided lots of information, as well as Lisa's organization. And I was hearing good things, and I know that's always not a stressful thing exactly. It's fun to have them all in and meet them, but there are so many new superintendents this year, and just to let you know that I heard really good things about the information and training that was provided.
Great, great. Kobe?
I have no further comments.
Okay. Mr. Mariner?
Hey, I would ask the commissioners to consider whether or not it makes some sense for him in his next update to the board to kind of give us a heads up as to some of the things that we might be seeing or needing to kind of try to think about or maybe bring up on prior to our very robust September meeting, just specifically about all the issues related to 278, the final term of that bill, one of the last education bill, or whatever the governor's on the budget bill. Anyway, I just want us to make sure that we are as up on the issues as possible so that those few days of meetings can be
Okay, anyway, we're happy to
the council would come to this point.
No comments for me.
Okay, Colonel Hayes? He's gone. Kenny? Kenny, are you still with us? I guess not. Okay. My comments are Commissioner, do you think we are ever going to get this recent meeting going?
Oh, yeah, it's been scheduled. I'll have to look. I don't have the date in front of me, but no, it's moving forward. And it's the last week in September.
Oh, okay. Well, somebody better send me this. I haven't gotten that yet.
Oh, okay.
Send me along the date, if you would, please. Okay.
Yep, we'll do.
Then you and I need to talk before that meeting, Commissioner.
Yes, we do.
Yeah, okay. And when you send out an update, would it be appropriate that you send us out the superintendents, the new superintendents and their districts?
You bet. I will coordinate with Lisa, Dr. Parody, and we'll do that.
That would be great. Okay. Do you have any comments, Commissioner?
I don't. I was writing down here that it's been a little while since I've given everyone an update, but we did have a really productive day and a half. I had a lot of staff that worked on Sunday with the superintendents. We've got some changes taking place with Ackland, and been moving that forward as well. So right now, I think the board is square in the middle of getting all these regulations adopted so that we can implement a lot of the components of this HB 278.
Okay. Tell us how is plan building progressing?
Linda stepped out, but we just had a recent meeting with them. It's actually great. We are on schedule. If the asbestos abatement hasn't fully taken place, it will within the next day or so of the old building, but it is totally emptied and turned over to the contractors. We don't own that building anymore, and so I would guess very soon we'll see that being coming down. So that's exciting?
Yes, it is exciting, and I was absolutely ecstatic that the legislature fully funded this so they could get it done.
Yes, and so the meeting we most recently had was, will we be able to find any efficiencies in regards to staffing, and what will it look like when we move out of these other buildings, and just kind of what funding needs will we have, if any additional needs, when we open SLAM soon.
Great. All right, board members, any other comments? Anyone? How about Deputy Commissioner? Are you okay?
I am good.
That's great. All right. With that then, let's have a motion for adjournment.
I move
to adjourn. Mm-hmm. Okay. We don't have to vote on that, do we, Sue? Nope. That's you can just do hearing no objection. Hearing no objection. Thank you all. Thank staff for your preparation and enjoy the rest of your summer.
Bye bye.
Just put it on. Yep.